Welcome to A Slut's Guide to Happiness, where your body is perfectly imperfect and it's safe to be as sexual, kinky, queer, or slutty as you want. Join us in the pleasure of being awkwardly human, naked and without pretense. Let's get free. This episode is going to explore what it looks like to be terrified of stepping outside the box of social norms or being honest and open about who you are, especially when your truth feels absolutely wrong, perverted, crazy, inappropriate, and you are 97% sure you're going to be rejected, derided, and alone if you share that truth. I'll explore how that's shown up in my life and give you three big lessons that I've learned from my experience confronting these fears that you might be able to learn in your use in your own life. So let me start with a biggie. As a pansexual and queer and slutty woman and a porn producer, you might think it's one of those, but it's actually something that's outside of that genre, but it was a huge moment of overcoming terror in order to be who I am. So at 27, I finally decided to pursue a lifelong dream, to be a solo parent. I don't know why I always knew that that's something that I wanted to do, but you can go back to when I was in elementary school and I was talking about that dream. So finally, nobody told me that I could do it. Nobody said that it made sense. It really didn't. I wasn't financially ready, but I decided I have one life. I'm going to pursue joy, even if I'm not authorized by society to do so. And so I decided I'm going to go to the sperm bank and get sperm every month. And I was already dating a bunch of guys. So I was told all the people that I was dating, like, hey, I want to do this thing. I'm going off birth control. I don't want another parent involved. Some people decided to leave and some people stuck around because they wanted to help me and they understood that they weren't going to be involved. Once I was pregnant, I happened to be working a pretty normative job, a good organization, but a pretty institutional, kind of normative culture. And there was a woman who was a very kind woman, and she saw that I was starting to show that I was getting pregnant. She came from kind of normative culture, married, suburban mom. And she asked me a question that I don't think she meant in a bad way, but because I was so stuck in my fear, it hurt me a lot, especially the phrasing felt judgmental. She said, so who's the baby daddy? And she knew that I wasn't normatively partnered. I didn't have a husband. I didn't really talk about having multiple partners at work. And so I froze. I had no idea how to answer her because I was not prepared to share my truth. Like, she wanted me to reveal my secret. I was like, how am I going to tell you about sleeping with a bunch of guys in order to get myself pregnant? Now, fast forward 5 years later, I have an amazing kid. I am open and honest. I came out to all of my coworkers at the time. Now all of my coworkers as a porn producer know, my friends, my family know that I'm a solo parent. They know about how I became a solo parent. And it was through a process of finding other solo parents, other single parents who did it kind of like how I did it, and who are living amazing lives, and found that in books, and I found that in person. And of course it's hard, right? Because capitalism is hard and it costs a lot to be a parent. But I wouldn't change it for the world because of the independence of my parenting and the relationship I have with my child. And I also came out really publicly and proud about how I conceived, including I reenacted my conception in a porn scene where 12 friends in a loving gangbang helped me get pregnant. And I think because it was such an authentic representation of my truth, such a raw exposure of myself, that video now has over 9 million views on Pornhub. So that is a pretty damn big reversal from being afraid to tell one coworker to sharing about my story of conception with anyone I meet in my life and anyone who's masturbating on the internet, because I feel totally proud about how a bunch of guys lovingly helped me bring my biggest joy into the world. So this transition from fear to total self-acceptance has been a recurring theme of my life. Every time I've started some new adventure of who I am, I was terrified. I faced social rejection, not just that I was afraid of facing social rejection, but that fear came true. And I felt sure I was crazy, in both the medical and colloquial sense of that word, until I found other people who affirmed me. So the first time when I was 14, I was in a relationship with a girl and I came out as bisexual. And my parents, who are very kind, loving people who loved me a ton but came from really traditional norms, told me, they cried and they told me my life would be harder if I was bisexual. And I did not find acceptance in that until I reached the queer community. But the queer community that I happened to reach was something that had a norms that is common in many queer circles, which was that it was okay to be lesbian, but liking guys or liking people with dicks or liking trans people was not okay. And so it was many years. It was about 8 years where I was lesbian and I only dated women until I finally realized, like, hey, I actually like people of all bodies and genders. And so coming out as pansexual was another process. And then later, around the same time, I came out as polyamorous. And when I shared it with my family, one of my parents' reactions was like, a don't ask, don't tell. Like, you've already told us you're bisexual, so we kind of get that, like, some stuff is going on, but we don't want to know. I remember specifically I was in a grocery store and we were looking at bottles of wine. And there was one called Ménage à Trois that I mentioned I picked up. My dad, referencing the fact that I was polyamorous, was like, I don't want to know. Don't tell us. And the ménage à trois, right, referring to a threesome, that's kind of how he had it associated in his head, that it was something potentially sexual and perverted. And that, to me, took a while to figure out. Like, it wasn't until I connected with polyamorous community that I felt comfortable with the idea of having multiple loving partners in my life. I'm continuing on this journey. There eventually reaches a point where, I just like have a really high sex drive. I really like sexual adventure. I'm connecting with a lot of people. I remember I was living alone in a tiny little apartment in downtown Seattle. And for a while I was, one week I realized I had invited over 5 different guys that week. And sometimes they were completely anonymous hookups where I had this OkCupid profile. It was just me naked, but with a blanket stripped over so that OkCupid wouldn't kick me off. And so sometimes it would go so far as like guys would contact me and I would say, here's my address. We wouldn't even bother going out for drinks or going dancing or whatever. They just come up, fuck me and leave. And I felt sure, like, this is, like, something is wrong with me. Like, what am I doing? I'm perverted. Like, I'm going to this normative job. I'm pretending like I have a normative life. And then I'm coming home and I'm random anonymous fucking people up the internet. Like, what? And then a couple years later, I found a swinger club, a sex club, and was like, oh, all these other people, like, playing with sex just for fun. Like, I'm not crazy. I was just in the wrong community. I hadn't found that community yet. Later, I started doing camming. I read this really erotic book and it was inspiring me to get into camming and explore that. I loved it, but I'm an extrovert and I like being around people. So I tried sex work and porn and I felt like I went off the deep end. So right now I'm the producer of a porn, I'm the CEO of a porn production company and I invite a lot of amateurs to people who are not professional actors, any consenting adults to join our scenes. And many times people are nervous. They're coming into gangbang and orgy scenes and they're a little unsure and uncomfortable about being in porn. And I tell them, like, my first porn scene was a basic happy ending massage where my role was to lie face down and get a good massage. Like, it doesn't get easier than that. And yet I was shaking because I felt sure that stepping into porn meant that I was stepping away from the capacity to be accepted by normal society because I was doing something so wrong. And then I remember the first time I was sharing my stuff on Reddit where I was like sharing super kinky or super, exposed content on Reddit. I felt dirty and wrong. And now I found community in that. I found lots of other porn producers and porn performers and sex workers who are doing amazing work and I see them being proud and happy. And now, I have figured out how to express myself and my values and my authenticity in my work. I feel really proud of it. Another example, when I was in LA, for the first time was producing these back-to-back-to-back-to-back gangbangs and orgy shoots because I went there for a few days and I packed the time. And there was the first time I got there, in the first scene, I had diarrhea, right? And so I knew that I had to do a ton of enemas before the second scene because 25 guys were coming to do double penetration. So fucking me in both the ass and my pussy and at the same time, right? And so I had to be ready for it. And so I did all these enemas because I was committed to the work, but I didn't know how to properly take care of my body through that. And so afterwards, I was shaking. I was completely lost of electrolytes at the end of the scene, and I almost passed out, almost had to go to the hospital. And again, I felt like, what in the world am I doing? And my counselor, who is wonderful, reminded me that this is a common experience of people who are doing extreme sports, that you have to learn how to take care of your body, but it's, you know, pushing, it's the joy of pushing yourself and feeling alive. And it's like, yes, able to reframe that. And the last example I will give you is that for about 4 years I have been doing porn, but three of them I was working a more traditional job that was providing me with a lot of financial stability and also the ability to tell people who are in the normative world, like, yeah, this is my identity. I do this other normative job. And then finally I decided to quit that and just do porn full time, which it was terrifying financially and also terrifying socially. Like, I'm all in on this. I have no other excuse for who I am. Like, this is what I'm doing in the world now. And then I quit doing paid shoots from where other people hire me, and I'm just producing my own work, which is financially and socially risky. But I find so much connection and joy and meaning of it. So the fear is worth it. So over and over and over, I've gone through these different stages of coming out sexually, of coming out socially, of coming out about my truth of who I am. And I feel certain that I will continue throughout my life to find my growing edges, to find places where I'm not yet honest with myself or with the world about all of who I am. And so in these scary, terrifying processes, I have learned some big lessons that I want to share with you. Three big lessons that may apply to whatever scary journey of truth you are on. So the first one, and this is a value that in the porn production company, Cliff Media, we talk about a lot, is that the truth sets us free. The truth will set you free. So you can fit in the box society gives us. That's absolutely your choice. You can participate in capitalist norms about professionalism and defining yourself by advancement in the corporate ladder or in economic wealth. You can conform to societal expectations about monogamous marriage. You can date whoever you want, or you can date the right gender. You can conform to gender norms about how you're supposed to behave. You can keep your sexuality private. You can avoid doing anything that could be misinterpreted or seen as perverted. And you can get professional help if you step outside, if you dare to step outside this box that society has given us, because you're probably messed up in the brain. Or if you dare to step outside the box and you continue accepting yourself when other people will tell you to get back in that box, because they almost certainly will, you will almost certainly find those people, you might discover that there's so much joy, so much freedom and room to explore and play out here. Audre Lorde, who is a shiro, a poet and an author and a beautiful thinker, one of the things, that a line that she says that I think about a lot, is whatever you accept about yourself can't be used as a weapon against you. So being queer, pansexual, kinky, transgender, polyamorous, slutty, a swinger, a sex worker, a porn performer, if you come out as any of those things in a society that tells us those things are wrong, you will face judgment. You will find those people who will judge you, who are afraid for you, but that's their fear and their journey. And if you can accept and love yourself and see them as see them with compassion as going through their own journey of uncovering their fear, you have enormous potential for exploring freedom. And if you love yourself for the whole of who you are, your truth will attract other people who are also like you. And the amazing thing is that your truth creates space for other people to be themselves. It invites people to dream bigger and potentially lose their own fear. Okay, so that's lesson number one, the truth sets us free. Lesson number two, if you're not scared, your dreams aren't big enough. So we talk about fear as this really challenging thing to overcome, but it may be that actually we want to lean towards fear. Because if you follow the path that society expects us to follow, it is emotionally simpler. But simplicity doesn't necessarily mean joy. As a poem you may be familiar with, The Summer Day by Mary Oliver, at the end she asks us, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" Even if you believe in reincarnation, we can all agree we only get one chance in this particular body, this particular time and space on Earth. So we all have this incredible potential to seize the moment, to be creative and original spirits. There is a fire burning inside you, I know it. So what does it look like to set that free? Even if it's risky, even if you might fail miserably, stumble and get back up and try again, even if you might face rejection from some people before you find the right people. And that brings us to lesson number 3. To cope with that fear and turn that fear into a superpower, you have to find your tribe. You have to find your people. Whoever you are deep inside, that secret that you aren't sure you can share with the world yet, no matter how kinky or perverted, no matter how you identify in your gender or your sexuality, no matter how you like to engage in romantic or emotional relationships, no matter what your family looks like or what you want it to look like, no matter what kind of sexual labor you do, there are other people like you. In fact, there are other people who identify like you or have sexual desires like you or want a life like you and have already figured out how to love themselves exactly as they are, to be loud and open about who they are, and to be successful, competent, loved, whole people. Find those people. Those people will be your cheerleaders and give you more love for your whole self than you can currently imagine as possible. And then you can give that love to the next person. So this has been A Slut's Guide to Happiness. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, on Apple and Spotify or on VanessaCliff.com. You can check out the work of Cliff Media on VanessaCliff.com. And I hope you join us for the next time. Let's get free.